So that told us that when someone uttered before he or she died are very important. Such words are important because they carry something they would love to leave you with before they die. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, in pain and actually in excruciating pain, he uttered seven statements. And my task this evening is for us to explore one of the statements he uttered when he was on the cross. And that is the statement, "It is finished." It is important to take note of the fact that this statement is unique among the seven statements he uttered. It is unique in a sense that it is only recorded in the Gospel of John. The synoptic gospels like Matthew, Mark, and Luke never recorded this particular statement. It is only recorded in the Gospel of John. There are three things I want to bring to your attention this evening as we explore the statement, "It is finished." And they are all important questions. Number one, what did the Lord Jesus Christ mean when he said it is finished? Number two, what did these words mean to those who were standing by? And then number three, what does this word mean to you and me this evening? Those are the three things we will look at. Let us start with number one. What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean when he said it is finished? Allow me to start with what he never meant. Allow me to start with what he never meant. Firstly, Jesus Christ never meant that all our trials and tribulations were finished. He never meant that our problems were finished. This is a statement a lot of Christians are misused. This is a statement a lot of Christians use to claim that suffering is not their portion. And the argument would go like this: Jesus Christ saying it is finished from the cross, it follows that all my suffering is finished. All my trials were finished. All my struggles were finished. No. That's not what Jesus Christ meant when he said it is finished on the cross. Friends, trials and tribulations are here to stay. They are part of the life of the church. Trials and tribulations will never finish until the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. So when Jesus Christ said it is finished, he never meant that our trials and tribulations were finished. Secondly, when Jesus Christ said it is finished, he never meant that he himself was finished. He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." He never meant that he himself was finished. He showed it wasn't a conference. It was not a cry of defeat. He wasn't succumbing to defeat. It was a cry of victory. A cry of victory that he had triumphed over sin. So we have observed that when Jesus Christ said it is finished on the cross, he never meant that all our trials and tribulations were finished. And then secondly, that he never meant that he himself was finished. So what did he mean? What did Jesus Christ mean when he said it is finished? Well, these three words are translated from a simple Greek word, tetelestai. The word "it is finished," they are translated from a simple Greek word, tetelestai. Tetelestai is a perfect tense. It shows that the progress of an action has been been completed, and the result of that completed action is ongoing and is present. So the question is just that, what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ completed, whose result is ongoing and with full effect? Well, when Jesus Christ said it is finished, he meant the following were accomplished. He meant the following were accomplished. Number one, the great work of redemption. The great work of redemption. Your salvation. Yes, our salvation was not an afterthought of the fall. But in eternity past, God planned our salvation. Before the foundation of this world, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they start as it were to plan our salvation. God the Father chose the people for himself, and God the Son was appointed and ordained to come and die for a people God the Father chose. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, crying out, "Tetelestai, it is finished," he was referring to that work of redemption. To that work of redemption he had planned with the Father before the foundation of this world. That's what he meant. He never meant that your problems were finished. He never meant that your tribulations were finished. He never meant that he himself was finished. But he was referring to the great work of redemption that he had accomplished. The work God the Father gave him to redeem the elect, he had finished it. Tetelestai, he said on the cross. Observe with me how the Apostle Paul put it in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I read from verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, of his glory. The sixth, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, meaning in Christ, in him we have been made sure through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And clearly, we see there that our salvation was not an afterthought of the fall. Our salvation was planned. Friends, Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus came to make propitiation for our record of sin and bring it to God. Jesus finished the work God gave him. Jesus came to make reconciliation between God and man possible. Jesus has finished the work the Father gave him to make reconciliation possible between God and mankind. Let's observe the second thing. So we have observed that number one, when he said it is finished, he made it was referring to the great work of redemption. But number two, when he said it is finished, he meant all the Old Testament prophecy concerning his coming were fulfilled. All the Old Testament prophecies and promises, they were fulfilled. From the beginning, God promised everything. God promised a redeemer from the beginning, and we can see it clearly in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God made a promise that a redeemer was going to come. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says in verse 15, I will put an enmity between you and the woman. And he was giving this promise to the serpent. He was giving this promise to Satan. I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And Genesis 3 verse 15 is the first announcement of the gospel in the Bible. Of course, the bad news here in Genesis chapter 3 is that Adam has sinned, and the consequences of that made the whole human race have sinned. When Adam sinned, the whole human race has sinned, because we were all in Adam. And that's the bad news. But even in the midst of that good news, we see God himself giving out good news in the 15 of Genesis 3, that a redeemer, the seed of the woman, was going to come to crush the head of the serpent. And that seed of the woman is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, each time we are reading the Old Testament, we must never lose sight of God's redemptive plan. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Old Testament is not a record of God saving people by the law, and the New Testament, a record of God saving people by grace. No. Both Old Testament says, and us, we are saved the same way. By the grace of God, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference, of course, is that for Old Testament sin, their faith pointed them forward to the coming of the Redeemer, to the coming of the Messiah. But for you and me, our faith points us backward to Christ who came and died on the cross for our sin. But the fact is that we all meet at the cross. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The Bible is one big story. The redemptive work of God. The Bible is one big story. The New Testament is hidden, as someone has said. The New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is open in the New Testament. It's talking about Christ. Him alone being our Redeemer. Him alone being our Savior. So when Jesus Christ said the celestial, when he said it is finished on the cross, we have observed that first he meant that the great work of redemption was accomplished. But secondly, we have observed that he meant all the Old Testament prophecies and promises concerning his coming were fulfilled. But observe in the first verse, that when he said it is finished, it meant all obedience to the law of God was finished. All obedience to the law of God was finished. Jesus Christ obeyed the law for us, friends. Obedience to the law is not a necessity to be saved. The law is not the means of salvation. The biggest commandment you can follow is simply to repent from your sin and believe in the finished work of Christ. Christ obeys the law. Many other times, when we're talking about the work of salvation, we concentrate, people concentrate so much on the death of Christ alone. But his life was as important as his death. In his life, he obeyed the Ten Commandments. In his life, he loved God the Father with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, and with all his mind. He also loved his neighbor as himself. No one can manage to do it the way Christ did it. Christ obeyed all the Ten Commandments. He obeyed all the Ten Commandments for you and me. Following the Ten Commandments is not a requirement for salvation, because Christ and him alone obeyed the Ten Commandments for us. Martin Luther says, the Lord says do this and it is never done. But the gospel says this and everything is done already. Oh, what Martin Luther was talking about here is the fact that we are not saved by obeying the law. We are saved by grace through faith and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ lived a life which you and me were supposed to live in order to enter heaven. Jesus loved God and he loved his neighbor. He is the only one who managed to live a sinless life. Here is the point. In Christ, you have already lived a righteous life. If you are a Christian, in Christ, you have already lived a righteous life. Jesus Christ obeyed the law. He obeyed the law. Matthew 5, verse 17. The Bible says, do not think, this is Jesus Christ, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And indeed, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ obeyed the whole law. Romans 3:21-26. The Bible says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over for the sin. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Christ obeyed the law. Let's move on to the fourth thing. So we have observed, when he said it is finished, he meant he completed the work of redemption. We have also observed that he was talking about the fact that all Old Testament promises and prophecies were fulfilled, and that all obedience to the law was fulfilled. But in the fourth place, he meant all types of ceremonial law were finished. All types of ceremonial law were finished. Hebrews chapter 9, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24. The Bible reads in verse 24, "For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true thing, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was this to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest entered the holy places every year with blood, not his own." Verse 26. "For then he would have suffered repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." All types of the ceremonial law were finished. No more sacrifices or rituals. No more going to priests or sacrifices. Yet no more. You can only be saved when you turn from your sin and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was the perfect sacrifice who was offered once and for all. No more sacrifices. Let's tie quickly and go to the last thing. What did he mean when he said it is finished? In the fifth place, he meant the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ were finished. The suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ were finished. And allow me to spell out this suffering. Jesus Christ never suffered because of sin. No. He suffered as our substitute. He suffered as our substitute to satisfy the wrath of God. When he was on the cross, your sin, my sin, the sins of the elect were put on him, and he was punished on our behalf. And all the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ came to an end when he said it is finished, when he said it is finished on the cross. He was not going to suffer the pain or humiliation again. Emotional and physical suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ was finished when he said it is finished. Let us now move on to our second question. So we have observed the first question, what did Jesus Christ mean when he said it is finished? Now we are observing the second question, what did the way it is finished mean to those who were standing by? What did the way it is finished mean to those who were standing by? First of all, it means that there were those who were lost. Turn our Bibles to John 19 and verse 6 to 7. John 19 and verse 6 to 7. There were those who were lost. Verse 6. The Bible says, "When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!'" There were those who never saw any gym like the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross, sinners rejected him. They never saw any gym in him. And friend, when one person rejects you, it is painful. But it is more painful when people just have rejected you. All of them rejected you. So there were those who were lost. But if you observe in the second verse that they were those who were not sure whether God was guilty or not. There were those who were not sure. We're not sure. Observe the very verse 6 of John chapter 7, of John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 6. When the chief priest and the officer saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The seventh, the Jews answered him, "We have the law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." So some felt sorry for Jesus Christ, but they were too lost. Even though they felt sorry for the Lord Jesus Christ, they were still lost. They never recognized him as their personal savior. Feeling guilty for Jesus Christ's suffering does not constitute repentance. It doesn't constitute repentance. But observe with me in the third place, the world views of the jail. The word "pedestrian" is unfamiliar to us, but it was used by various people in their everyday life. Jesus Christ chose a word which people were using in their everyday lives. "Pedestrian." Here is how they used the word "pedestrian." When a servant was sent by his master, when he was done doing, you know, the assignment, he would go before the master and say, "Pedestrian," meaning, "I've completed the assignment you gave me." So it is the word that was used by the people there. Again, observe, when a priest examined an animal sacrifice and found it faultless, the word "pedestrian" was also used. When a priest examined an animal sacrifice and found it faultless, he would use the word "pedestrian." Then again, when an artist completed a picture or a writer, a manuscript, he or she would use the word "pedestrian," meaning, "I'm done painting this picture." But again, it was used by an accountant. It was an accounting term. When people, you know, paid the debts they were owing, the accountants would issue out a receipt, and this were on the receipt an inscription, "pedestrian" was written, meaning paid in full. It was used by accountant. Not only that, it was also a legal term. It was a legal term. Criminals serving a jail sentence had their names written on a list and sent where they were sending. And on that list, the pedestrian was written. So Jesus Christ chose a word which the people are familiar with to describe the way God the Father has given him to come and do here on earth. Well, beloved, what does Jesus Christ say? It is an accomplished redemption. Let us now go to the final question. What do these words mean to you and me? What do these words mean to you and me this evening? Well, for some of you who are not Christian, these words mean salvation is possible. Salvation is possible. Jesus Christ finished the work. He finished the work of redemption. Jesus Christ fulfilled all the Old Testament Testament promises and promises. Jesus Christ obeyed the word of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. Salvation is possible. You can be saved. You can be saved only by turning from your sin, by repenting from your sin and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wait till God saves you. Wait, and then don't tempt. It is only Jesus Christ who can save you. Yes, in order to obey the law to be saved, there is no additional work required. Salvation is in Jesus Christ plus nothing. Only in Jesus Christ. Salvation is possible. In Christ you are forgiven. In Christ you are accepted. In Christ you are loved. In Christ you have already lived the righteous life. Because Jesus Christ obeyed the law, in Christ, the devil has been defeated. But for you who are saved, we must preach this good news. We must preach this good news. Friend, having a correct understanding of the gospel must cause us to evangelize. A correct understanding of the gospel must cause us to evangelize. We must preach the good news that Jesus has finished the work of redemption. He finished the work. We must go out there and tell sinners that salvation is possible. Someone came here on earth. He lived a holy life for you. He suffered as a substitute to satisfy the wrath of God for you. Salvation is possible. And I want to ask you this evening. How committed are you when it comes to work of evangelism? How committed are we, friends? How committed are you as an individual when it comes to the work of evangelism? When did you last evangelize? I'm just asking you, when did you last preach the gospel of your brother or a sister? Did it at work or in your neighborhood? When did you last preach the gospel? A correct understanding of the gospel must cause you to go out there and preach it. It should not be just, no, we know the five points of doctrine. We know the doctrine of grace. It's not just about that. The doctrine of grace, the five points of Calvinism, must cause us to preach the gospel. Because we know the Lord Jesus has finished the work. And all we need to do is simply preach the gospel. And we know that salvation belongs to God. And we know that as we preach the gospel, God is calling the elect to himself. The elect cannot come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without the gospel. We need to preach the gospel. But to observe the second thing, for you who is saved, that the gospel must humble us. The fact that Jesus Christ finished the way of redemption must humble you. What is it that you have which you did not receive? Your salvation, you did not wait for it. Christ is the one who went for it. And that must happen for you. Each time you see prostitute, each time you see thieves, each time you see drunkard, you must be able to say, there I go, if you are the grace of God. not for the grace of God, then I will. The gospel must humble you. Friends, let me end with the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is special for you who doesn't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? I plead with you this evening. Come to Him. Come to Him. Will you go home in your sin? Will you repent from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to Him this evening. Jesus Christ in Matthew 11, verse 28, He said, come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to Christ. Amen.